Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. How do you do? Upstate South Carolina. Hello, America. What up, world? Great to be with you. Happy Tuesday. Hope all is well. Except for Wesley and Trey. I hope you both stub your toe.
Yeah, you guys are being brutal.
You guys are being weird.
I mean, you should be congratulatory because Rob is getting married, and this is the last day you're going to see him or hear from him for a while. And try to be nice. I know it's difficult. I'm struggling with it.
Welcome to the internet. Everybody's a terrible person.
By the way, both of you guys are value members of the Armada and not terrible people.
For sure. For sure. You're just pretending to be right now on the internet. Stop doing that. All right. Be a better person.
All right. I changed my mind now. He called you guys out. He's just full throttle.
Okay. You're joining them. All right. We have got a lot to get to, a lot to talk about. Coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News covers the South Carolina Gamecocks. She'll join us, give us her thoughts on the South Carolina LSU game from this weekend and what she would like to see out of this team. Oh, what she would like to see out of USC on the BYE. It was right there. I almost blew right past it.
What's the BYE?
The bye week.
The
bye week.
I didn't realize it was a bye.
Okay. It is a bye.
Okay.
Off this week, Akron out of the gate after that. And then they go into the meat and potatoes of the SEC season. After that, they've got, four consecutive top 25 games, and I think six of them left. No, I'm lying to you. It's Akron this week, then the bye week. Got it backwards. That's on me.
Okay.
All right. They got Akron. Right. I assume Robbie Ashford will start. Lenora Sellers will then get the benefit of the Akron week off and the bye week off. Then October 5th, Ole Miss, number 5. Alabama, number 4. Oklahoma, number 15. A&M, number 25. Then they're at Vandy. By the way, Vandy, the team that beat Virginia Tech, turned around and lost to an FCS team in Georgia Southern last week. Then they're against number 7, Mizzou, who I think is the most overrated team in the country. They're at home against Wofford, and then they're on the road at Clemson to end the year.
Yeah, give the weapon a couple weeks to get repaired, and then let's do this thing.
Oh, for sure. Could not agree with you more. Sit him down this weekend. No point, no sense in trotting him out this weekend if you don't have to. We got a lot to talk about. Lulu Kessin, as we mentioned, 9 o'clock. Hayton asked Mario at 9:20 to talk some NFL football with us. That's coming up very shortly. Whatever else you guys want to get to, it's up to you. As Lonzo pointed out, I am out tomorrow until the 30th of September.
We are.
Well,
I mean, I get the whole thing that you just, you know, think about you. But it's we. Because some of them might be tuning in for me. They could be a couple people, maybe.
So do the show.
Maybe three. I'm not good enough. And that's not my fault. Some of us are blessed with talent, and some of us are not.
I mean, I wasn't, but I'm going to take it. I'm gonna keep pretending as long as they pay me to.
You're doing an award-winning job.
That's also true. You're not wrong about that.
I just pushed the buttons.
So, if you want in, now's the time to get in. I will be gone. We will be gone.
Plus, I'm on vacation, too, so it is a we thing.
Yeah, I realize that now. I remember that now.
Or like the 10,000 times that I've told you that I'm on vacation too. I get your, you should be self-centered because of what you're about to do. It's a big step. It's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful feeling, and it should be all about you. And I apologize for throwing myself in there.
We sat last night. Last night was pick the music night. Well, we almost got divorced before we got married. Just pick it. It wasn't that bad. I'm being dramatic. It wasn't that bad. I'm going to tell you.
I'll say, you're going to talk that way. Maybe you need to leave a little bit earlier.
I am going to tell you. I think what we have hit, Zoe, and those of you who have been married, I'm sure understand this. We have hit the stress is real level of the whole thing. We have hit the, like, it's because now it's not just real, but like, even though there obviously has always been a deadline, the deadline is 4 days from now. And so when you're having to make these decisions, because now you have to make decisions, you got to make the decisions quickly, and you don't have time to make the decision and like let it stew for a couple of days.
All right, I'm going to go with you're the reason why it's last second that you procrastinate.
No,
things. I'm just saying
it's definitely for the aspects that we were dealing with last night is definitely a wee thing, right? Like we had a conversation with our DJ. We're doing half the reception is the band, half's the DJ, and we had our like phone call to discuss how everything was going to flow with the DJ last week. Correct. We had our conversation with the DJ last week, and yet he sent us, a little sheet, and it's like, fill out the songs you know you want for like, you know,
like a playlist.
Yeah. Okay. What's the family members walking out to during the ceremony? What's the bride walking out to? What's the groom coming out to? Who's this? Who's that? Whatever. We went with he sent us over a sheet to fill out with what we wanted played and when. And then he's like, send me a list of songs you know you have to have played at your reception and songs that you absolutely do not want played at your reception. Songs that you will not have at your reception, so I can build the list. I'm like, great. And so we got that that form to fill out on Sunday night. And I brought it up Monday. I'm like, hey, we gotta come up with this, right? We gotta think about this. And so we said, all right, Monday night, we'll sit down, we'll fill this whole thing out. So it got to be last night, went home yesterday, kind of packing up, organizing, making sure we got everything. Because like I said, my nightmare is that we get down there and they go, where's the ring? And I go, on the kitchen countertop in Greenville. And we got a big problem, right? So it's like going over this checklist over and over. She goes, we got to fill out the music. And I went, great. Have you thought about what you want? And she went, I haven't thought about this at all today. Neither have I. And we got to have them to it. Like we got to have it to them tonight. So last night turned into trying to have like these deep conversations about, you know, what do we want our family members to walk out to? And what are you going to walk in? What do I want to walk out to? And what songs are we going to have playing during the pre-ceremony when everybody's standing around waiting for us? And what are we going to have when we walk down? Blah, 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 blah. And you're trying to like come up with stuff that is,
by the way, I've never heard anyone doing all the things that you're doing. And that's, I mean, that's unique to you, I think. So, and that's cool.
Oh, but it's at most of the weddings I've been to.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess, different socioeconomic levels here.
There is the element that it is to some degree a non-traditional wedding, right? It's non-traditional. We're not doing all the normal things. It's a semi-non-traditional wedding. So like, she doesn't want Here Comes the Bride as her, she don't want The Bridal March as her song. It's boring. She don't want that. It's boring.
I bet there's a metal version that would be.
She don't want that either, though. Okay. She wants something that's like, you know, low-key romantic, acoustic guitar, whatever. So she's going back and forth about what she wants. But last night we had to write it down. And then we wrote it down, sent it to the DJ, and then immediately started second-guessing everything. And that's just where we are right now, right? It's like, decisions made, it's final, this is what we're doing, and this is how we're doing it. And they're, stop thinking about it, but you can't, right? You can't. Do we have the chairs lined up the right
way? I
hope
the DJ, like, loses your number for a couple of days.
No, he's actually a buddy of mine that's doing it.
Which still could lose your number for a couple of days.
Nah, I, I'll tell you what he did tell me yesterday, because I sent him this and I texted him. I'm like, hey, dude, it's in your inbox. Like, give it a little once over, look at it. And he goes, I got it. You're good. Do not think about this for the rest of the week. I got it. And I was like, word. I'm going to try. Didn't matter. Within like 3 minutes, I'm like, did we pick the right? Did I do that? Did we do that? Zach says, stone cold entrance for Rob. Kinda. My entrance to the, our entrance. Oh God, I got to stop doing that. Our entrance to the reception is Space Odyssey 2021. 2001. Yeah, I keep doing that.
Yeah, you do. That's weird.
Because it's like Space Odyssey, supposed to be futuristic. 2001 was friggin' forever ago.
It was back in the day, right? When the book was written.
I know. 2001, A Space Odyssey. We picked that one, obviously, because it doubles up.
By the way, there is a Space Odyssey going on right now. The two astronauts who can't come home.
I've been following it. It's very dramatic and very interesting. We'll be walking into the reception to 2001, A Space Odyssey. It serves a dual purpose, obviously, for me. Ric Flair's walkout music. For her, South Carolina Gamecock hype song, right? Entrance song. So we got our stuff. We got it figured out. But also, we just hit the point last night, really 2 nights ago, where we're like, are we good? I don't think we're good. Are we good? I'm good. Are you good? I don't think I'm good. I don't think I'm good. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right, that's enough about
that. So at what point would you like to jump ahead in time? Like to Christmas or Thanksgiving?
No, to Saturday. I'm excited about it. Like, I'm excited. And I told her, I think once she works today, she's off tomorrow. I work today, I'm off tomorrow. I said, I think once we get everything in the car and we get down there, right? Because we get there tomorrow at like 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. I think once we get there and we get everything in the house and we get everything organized to where we know everything's there, we know where everything is, Rob doesn't have to get in his car on Thursday, drive back to Greenville because we forgot something, whatever. Once we get here and we get everything done and everything's in order, I think it'll be a lot better. And I think I think Thursday, Friday, Saturday are going to be a breeze. We're going to have a ball on Saturday. It's going to be a blast. Open bar reception, obviously. Like, it's going to be a great time. But I think these last 2 days before we get down there and get settled in are just, that's the worst. It's the worst. That being said, I am very excited about it. So I'll see you guys on the 30th. Hey, we're very late in the segment. 1 minute apiece, the speed run edition of the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet. 2 minute drill. I'm getting each story done in less than 2 minutes. All right. Item number one. The series against the LA Dodgers, 4 games, started out exceptionally well for the Atlanta Braves. Had a lot of hits, put up a lot of runs, beat the tar out of the Dodgers, and then they turned around and got the tar beat out of them for the second 2 games. They let the Dodgers score 9 yesterday for the second time in a row. A 9-0 shutout victory for the Dodgers over the Atlanta Braves. Max Fried went 6 innings, gave up 2 hits and just 3 runs, K'd 7, and then Baseball Hernandez went to the bump for 1 out, surrendered 3 earned runs. They replaced him after just 1 out with Aaron Bummer, who went 2 outs and also surrendered 3 runs. All 6 runs came just in the 7th inning. On the flip side, offensively, the Braves, once again, the bats have disappeared. Just 4 hits in this game. Here's the wild thing. The Dodgers also had just 4 hits in this game. That's insane to me. The Dodgers had 4 hits. However, off those 4 hits, they accumulated 9 runs. That came partially because of 7 walks in this game, which is, and I've done the math, too many walks in that one. They also had a couple of errors that were attributed to the Atlanta Braves. So the Bravos find themselves after a 9-0 loss on a 4-hit game. It just doesn't make sense. Unfortunately for Atlanta, they have dropped to 81-69 in the wild card race that moves them now out of a wild card position. They are now a full game back of the New York Mets. If there is good news for the Atlanta Braves, it's the fact that it is a 3-horse race for 2 spots. The Arizona Diamondbacks also lost last night. They are just 1 game up on the Mets, 2 games up on the Braves. The Braves ain't dead. They're hurt. But they ain't dead. We'll see if they can flip it around. That's a minute 53 seconds. Item number 2. The Atlanta Falcons avoid an 0-2 start to the season with a 22-21 walk-off win over the Philadelphia Eagles last night. Kirk Cousins got the ball with a deficit with less than a minute and a half left to play. It took him 65 seconds to hit a completion of 26 yards, a completion of 21 yards, and then to find Drake London in the back right corner of the end zone for the go-ahead tutty. There was an excessive celebration, unsportsmanlike conduct on Atlanta, so Kim had to knock that thing through from like forever away, but he did it.
It was 48 yards, by the way.
48 yards on the extra point, but he knocked it through.
I watched it this morning, so that's why I know.
Knocked it through. Atlanta takes a 22-21 lead, and then Jalen Hurts and the boys couldn't finish it up. Now, here's the fun part. Jalen and them, no reason to lose this game. Third and three, Jalen Hurts hits Saquon Barkley in the hands. He bobble hands it, drops the ball. If Saquon Barkley gets that first down, game over, man. Game over. They bleed the clock dry. Philly. Oh, that was very fitting. Philly goes to 2-0. Atlanta goes to 0-2 instead. Kirk Cousins got the ball back with brass rocks time, and he drove him the length of the field, popped it into the end zone. Finished the night 20 of 29 for 241 and two touchdowns. Bijan Robinson was good. 14 carries, 97 yards, averaged almost 7 yards per carry in this one. Saquon had another night. 95 yards on 22 carries. Could not score, though. Jalen Hurts, 22 of 30 for a 183, one touchdown, and one interception. Atlanta improves to 1-1 after a Monday night football victory. Kirk Cousins' fourth Monday night football victory in 17 tries. A minute 49, item number three. Bryce Young hitting the pine this weekend. Dave Canales announced last night during a press conference that the team has decided that they will sit last year's number one overall quarterback draft pick and instead go with the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, who will get his start, first start, since around this exact same time last year when he took over for an injured Bryce Young. This stat is wild, and it blows my mind that somebody went and found it. Bryce Young is the first number one overall draft pick to be benched within his first two seasons for non-injury related purposes in the modern draft era. The first number one overall quarterback pick to be benched not for an injury in the modern era.
Congrats on making history, Bryce.
I mean, he absolutely did. Had a career bad day against the Chargers last weekend. A career low, 6.4 QBR. BY's QBR through two games is 8.3, by far the worst in the league amongst qualified quarterbacks. He is 2-16 as a starter, even though wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. They're tracked anyway. They lost to the Panthers and the Chargers by a combined score of 73-13 so far. Andy Dalton said that he did not know if he would get another opportunity, but looks to make the most of it. I can't imagine he wouldn't. And now the question is, do the Panthers come out, look dramatically different, dramatically better, and we put Bryce Young to bed just 18 games into his career? Or does Andy Dalton come out, also struggle, also play bad football, and maybe, just maybe, we say what Rob Brown's been saying the whole time, which is Taylor Swift, Carolina Panthers? Maybe it's you. 1 minute, 53 seconds. We take a break. I am Rob Brown, the great Milonzo in the ones and twos. We got to talk some college football when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So obviously there is a lot of discussion still ongoing about the South Carolina LSU game. And I think it's very fair to talk about. I put up a tweet earlier this week, and that tweet said, I'm not one of these guys that gets dramatic. All right, put a skirt on them. If you can't hit them, well, let's just play flag football. Football's still a very, very violent sport.
Why does that guy sound like he's from the 30s?
Because
you went way back.
That's
there.
My default, you sound like an old guy yelling, get off my lawn voice. That's not how every get off my lawn guy sounds, but in my head they do. So that's the kind of tone to me that comes across. And because of that, I put up a tweet. I said, I'm not a put skirts on them guy, but LSU's quarterback, Garrett Nussmeier, was absolutely making a run at the ball carrier well after the pick. And after looking at the hit a few dozen times, this absolutely should not have been called active defender. And the hit was all shoulder. Hashtag Gamecocks got screwed. And I put up a still from the hit. I put it on the stream yesterday. If you want to see it, go to my Twitter page, twitter.com/TheRobBrownShow. Put it on my Twitter page, and it is very obvious that the hit came palms of the hand to the shoulder. Now, the only argument is, was it a blindside block? And I am going to say, I think blindside blocks are something that are very hard to legislate. I think they're super subjective. And I think that, again, the one goal of every sports officiating outlet, rulemaking committee, should always be to remove as much subjectivity as is possible from the officiating of a game. I do not want referees ever to be forced to make a decision about whether or not to throw a flag or blow a whistle or hand out a card based on subjectivity. I understand that to some degree it's unavoidable. There are just always going to be things in sports where a referee is going to have to utilize his discretion, which is why I have said I am very pro-robo-umps, but I also don't want to take the referees off the field, because there are just going to be spots where subjectivity is required, okay? I'm not the only one who has been saying officiating is starting to hurt not just sports, but specific sports individually, college football being one of them. CBS's Josh Pate. Yeah, that's it. That's it. And that is why I have always argued the goal should be taking as much subjectivity out of the game as is possible. And I do think, I want to be very clear. I have told you guys in the past, Jason Autry, who is the official that was the referee that was in charge of that crew on Saturday, I worked with him for a year and a half. I worked for him. Well, not for him. I worked with him alongside him for about a year and a half. And I will tell you that Jason Autry is one of my favorite coworkers of all time. He is an incredibly nice human being. He is somebody who believes in accountability. He is somebody, and I can say this after having, again, worked with him personally. He is a dude that I watched people call his department and say, I have a problem. There were other department heads when I worked there. There were other department heads when there was a problem. They would call me and they would say, I need a press statement. I need you to write me a press release. I need you to set up an interview. Immediately what they started to do was to figure out, how do I make this about me? How do I take advantage of this situation? I can tell you for a fact, Jason never did that. You know what Jason did? Jason called whoever the hell he needed to call to get the problem fixed. The dude's a good guy. But I also think, number one, his crews have made mistakes. There was a game in 2020, the COVID year. A game in 2020, Arkansas and Auburn, if I recall correctly, where I want to say intentional grounding call was made at the end of the game. And the grounding call effectively gave Auburn a win. And after the grounding call, the Southeastern Conference came out and said, our crew got it wrong. You think they reversed the result of that game? Do you think they went back and changed it in the record book? Do you think they went back and said, actually, Arkansas wins and we're going to change? No. They don't. They can't. There's nothing that can be done. All they can do in that spot, and if I recall correctly, what they did do was apologize to Arkansas for the call being incorrect. And I think Autry's crew got suspended for a week. And what else do you do, right? But I also think the opposite side of that is what Pate just said. The opposite side of that is these refs who aren't bad people. They're not. At least, I can't say all of them. The one that we're talking about, not a bad guy. I like Jason a lot. I haven't spoken to him in a number of years. I feel like if I had Jason Autry's number, I could call him right now and he'd be like, I feel sick about this, right? Whether he believes the call was correct or not, he feels sick about the controversy because he doesn't like that. Autry stood in the room once. I was asking him questions about it, and he was telling me how with his officiating crew, one of the things that they go through every single week is their method of communications. They have down to a science, who talks when and how. And he told me, watch me give calls. I'm very crisp, precise, and clear because this I take this very seriously, and I think he does. But as Pate just said, and I think he's spot on, as Josh Pate just said, I think that they are put into some no-win situations. I think that because here's the thing. Flip that around. Let's say that hit on Nussmeier isn't called. Let's say that play stands. Eamon Wari takes it 102 yards back to the house, pick six. South Carolina wins the game. What do you think sports radio in Baton Rouge, Louisiana sounds like on Monday?
It never would have been shown on TV, so no one would have known.
I disagree entirely.
If it wasn't a flag, it would not have been shown on TV. No one would have known it happened.
It would have only because images of the quarterback being Peter Griffin'd on the field If nothing else, would have gone viral. Somebody would have had it up. It'd have been seen. And I think you'd have woken up on Monday in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and the Baton Rouge counterpart of Rob Brown would have been taking calls from a bunch of people going, I can't believe they didn't call that. We got screwed. They killed our quarterback. It was unnecessary roughness. It was this, it was that. The conversation would have been the exact same, but the opposite way, had the call gone the opposite way.
I think you're the only one on the station that feels that way. I had a conversation with Cole yesterday. I don't know what Diesel thinks about it, but I.
In what world, if a quarterback takes a blindside hit...
Wasn't a quarterback.
He's a quarterback who is playing... Lonzo, what position does DeMario Davis play?
Don't know.
Linebacker. Do we say he's not a linebacker? No, he's a linebacker. Who plays defense?
When you throw an interception, you are no longer a quarterback. You're a defender trying to stop the ball carrier, who is now an offensive player, from scoring. That makes you a defender. You are not a quarterback after you throw an interception. You are a defender.
When somebody gets
that's
in the back...
That's why no one... It's never been called in the history of football until last Saturday.
If somebody gets in the back of my vehicle and gives me money to take them somewhere, my car is a taxi... It's still a car. It doesn't stop being a car because now it's a taxi. Is he a defender? Yes. Still a quarterback. And so whether it's good or not, had that quarterback been laid out on the field, then in that spot, it would have been a conversation and the LSU fans would have been furious about it. They can't win. That's the point. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues, wrapping up hour number two here on the Fan Upstate. We got the Audio Blitz coming up in the next segment of the show. We'll run you through some of our favorite sound from social media from the past couple of days. And I will go one step further. And I will say that I have a lot of it. So it may be a two-segment Audio Blitz. We'll find out when we get there. Texter says, Rob, Lonzo is right. Quarterback is now a defender. We have turned QBs into sissies. Again, you understand that a quarterback is always a quarterback. There is not a position on the field called defender. He is a quarterback now playing defense. I am not disagreeing with you. It is, and I will go one step further and say, it is more of a semantics argument than it is a football argument. But
wait, we never have those.
Yeah,
so
I know. We try to avoid those here on the show. But he is still the quarterback, right? When the safety comes up and makes a tackle, you don't go, great tackle from the defender. You go, that's the safety that made the tackle, as the safety is a defender. Defender is not a position. It is a descriptor of what he is in that moment. And what I am telling you, and I think really what we should be saying in this position, and this is what I said yesterday, and I'll say it again tomorrow, whether or not you think it is right or fair or accurate or correct or whatever is irrelevant. Right now, in the land of football, quarterbacks get special treatment, okay? You can't treat them, hit them, interact with them the way that you interact with any other player. If we have a debate over that, that's a different conversation.
Everyone who's been talked to that I've heard has said that when a quarterback throws the interception, you go hit the quarterback because he's not a quarterback anymore. He is a defender.
I mean, again, he's still a quarterback. He is still playing the position of quarterback.
Up. I want you to show me where this has been called ever in the history of football.
I will have to find it. I can't say it. Again, the end of a tweet that I put up, a tweet that, by the way, is now sitting at, after one day, 116 replies, 87 quotes, and well north of 1,000 likes so far. All right? It is the most viral tweet of 2024 from my account. I don't put up tweets trying to go viral. I put up tweets trying to be entertaining. Or
it's because you don't want to be a mark, and I totally get that.
Right. No, I have no interest. My goal is not, never has been, to the chagrin of people I work for. My goal is never to go viral with a tweet. My goal is, if you have taken the time out of your life to come find me on Twitter, follow me on Twitter, read what I have to say on Twitter, you know that for me, Twitter is 92% goofing off and like 8%. Sometimes I got to be serious for a second. This is one of those times. And that tweet with well north of 1,000 likes ends with hashtag Gamecocks got screwed. I agree with you. I think maybe that's where some of this is coming from. Let me make clear. I agree. I don't think you throw that flag in that situation. But what I am also saying is I think it is important in that situation to understand, I think it is important to understand that it can be thrown. Quarterbacks get special treatment. You don't have to like it. It's a trust me, I don't. But it's a reality. It's a reality. They get special treatment. And we have said it happened in the Cal game where the quarterback dropped back, did not throw the ball. Had the ball in his throwing position, but did not throw the ball, got sacked, and they called roughing the passer. You want to talk about a semantics argument? You're not a passer until you pass, right? We're all on board with that definition. You're not a passer until you pass, and they called roughing the passer. Quarterbacks get special rules. Don't like it, have to accept it. So the point that I'm making here is, should it have been called? No, I don't think that it should have been called. Do I understand why it was called? I do. Do I like that it was called for why it was called? I do not. But do I understand why it was called? Absolutely. Now, since we've had all the discussion that we can possibly have about that, let's have another discussion. Let's have a discussion about the conspiracy theory that is floating around out there right now. Let's have a conversation about the conspiracy theory, because you, my dear friends, were not the only SEC team on the receiving end of a very questionable decision that cost you a game. Late in the game, Georgia is trailing Kentucky on the road. Georgia throws an out route. The wide receiver catches it, goes to the ground in what to me appears to be a catch. As he rolls over, he flips the ball up in the air, comes out of his grasp. Now, when he rolled over on the ball, he caught the ball with two hands in front of his body, rolled over, and the ball did touch the ground. But remember, the rule of the catch now is the ball can touch the ground provided the receiver has full control of it. The Georgia player did. As he rolls over, he loses the control after the ball comes off the ground, pops in the air, Kentucky grabs it, he goes the other way, pick six. Except for the referees called it an incomplete pass. They went to the video review as well. When they went to the video review as well, they came back and they confirmed the call on the field of an incomplete pass. The Kentucky fans lost their damn minds. College football talking heads lost their damn minds, saying that is a pick six by the letter of the law. And you took it off the board. So there is a thought out there right now. There's a not small number of people out there right now that are saying SEC officiating protects ranked SEC teams. If Georgia eats that loss to Kentucky, the road to the playoffs gets much more interesting for the Bulldogs. A marquee, blue blood, number one, not anymore, but at the time, team in the country, suddenly has a much more rocky road to the playoffs. Well, this isn't a new conspiracy theory. Here is a voice that South Carolina Gamecock fans are going to recognize very well. This was during the time that he was the head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks. This is a press conference quote from Will Muschamp. Now, I'll keep it a buck with you. I don't know what call that game. I don't know what game he's responding to. I don't know what the call was that he was upset about. I'm sure one of you out there does. If you do, shoot me a text, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, F-A-N, F-A-M. We'll read them on the air, 71307. I don't remember what call he was talking about there. I don't remember what game he was talking about there. What I do know is that's the head coach of an SEC program saying into a microphone with his entire and full chest. That's an SEC coach saying it. So if you've got an SEC coach, and I will acknowledge it is one coach from a handful of years ago saying something about it. But here's my question. If you've got an SEC coach willing to eat whatever conference fine was coming to him for getting on the mic and full chest saying some teams get special treatment because of the logo, in what world do you think fans aren't going to buy into that conspiracy theory? In what world do you think fans aren't going to accept that conspiracy theory as perhaps having some element of truth to it? In what world, when you've got calls from officials that, as Lonzo pointed out, I'm not saying that call's never been made in a college football game, but I haven't been able to come up with one where it has. And I got terrible long-term memory, y'all. I'm gonna keep it a buck with you.
Short-term's not really there either.
I got terrible memory in general, y'all. I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. I cannot remember another. I'm not saying it's never happened. I hope one of you does and can send it to me to prove my point. But
if it had happened to your team, you would remember, because you can never forget the New Orleans pass interference call. So
you mean the worst and most egregious missed call in the history of the National Football League? You are correct.
So I at least know it's never happened in a New Orleans game.
Not only that, again, when you bury me, put Bill Sonovich on my tombstone. So he knows, and his family knows, and his family family knows, and his ancestors 500 years from now still have me calling a son of a Vinovich on the tombstone. I need him to know, all right? But the point here is, no, I can't remember a time it's happened. Again, never saying it's never happened, just can't remember a time that it has. And because of that, there are fans, Gamecock fans today, Kentucky fans today, who believe that officiating decisions are sometimes made in order to protect the SEC teams that have the most to lose. And again, keep in mind, the amount of money that the conference makes is impacted and affected by where the teams show up in the postseason, where the teams show up in the bowl games, where the teams play. Do they play in playoff games? Do they play in national championship games? So it would make sense, if they have any level of control over it at all, it would make sense for the conference and the officials who are paid by the conference to want to make sure that the teams that are the most likely playoff teams, of which LSU and Georgia are two of them, get as many advantages as they can get. I'm not saying that is what happened. I'm saying that is the conspiracy theory that a lot of Kentucky fans and a lot of South Carolina fans are kicking around right now. And what I am saying is, it kind of makes sense. When I've had at least one SEC coach off the rip that was willing to full chest into a mic at a press conference, knowing there were probably a few dozen thousands of dollars coming out of his pocket for saying it, was willing to say, it just means more, .. depending on your logo. I'm not mad at fans who believe that there is a conspiracy theory out there to protect the Georgias and the Alabamas and the Texases and the LSUs of the world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the University of Georgia of Sports Flashes, Lonzo.
Wow, I would rather be the Ohio State of sports flashes. Kirk Cousins led his Atlanta Falcons to victory over the Philadelphia Eagles 22-21 last night with a game-winning drive in the waning moments of Monday. Cousins was 5 of 6 for 70 yards on the final drive and 20 of 29 for 241 yards and 2 touchdowns. In the game, Bijan Robinson led all rushers with 97 yards and on 14 carries. The Carolina Panthers will be led into their Week 3 contest with Andy Dalton replacing Bryce Young under center, making Young the first quarterback selected number one since 1967 to be benched in his second season for a non-injury. Young is 2-16 as a starter and carries an 8.9 quarterback rating after two games, by far the worst in the NFL. Tune in this Friday at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Wade Hampton to take on the Generals. It's Burns versus Wade Hampton right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, The Fan, Upstate.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.